Welcome to the Career Connected Learning Podcast for C2L PHL. Today's topic will be on engaging families and caregivers. Families and caregivers are important partners in C2L. They often help youth navigate through their experience. We'll review some strategies and best practices for engaging families and caregivers. Our podcasts are designed to be quick information sessions to help providers work with youth. The information shared are based on conversations with subject matter experts. Today's expert is Naomi Studevan, who is the founder of Advocacy Unlimited LLC. She earned her BA in psychology from Clark Atlanta University and her MBA from the University of Phoenix. With over 2 decades of experience in specialized training in education and behavioral health, she is dedicated to driving meaningful change and fostering growth in those she serves. As an active member of the African American Chamber of Commerce, a steering committee member and chair of the DEI Committee for the Specialists of Schools, and vice president of the West Park Cultural Center Board, a vibrant community arts organization, Ms. Studevan is deeply engaged in community initiatives and collaborations. She not only understands the importance of collaboration, but also the continuous need for improvement when aspiring to a best practice standard. This is why she works closely with education and behavioral health service providers to ensure that programs and services adhere to the highest standards of quality and effectiveness. By leveraging her expertise and insights, she helps organizations optimize their impact and achieve meaningful outcomes for those they serve. Whether you're seeking expert consultancy, personalized parent coaching, or transformative professional development, Naomi and Advocacy Unlimited is here to support you every step of the way. Welcome, Naomi.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So we'll just hop right into it. My first question for you, can you talk briefly about your background working with families and caregivers?
Yes. So I've worked with both families and caregivers for quite some time now, from working in residential facilities to extended case management. I've always worked with families in some capacity over the years. So my background is pretty extensive in both education as well as that behavioral health aspect because I've worked as a direct care support provider. So I've gone into the homes, I've worked directly with students, and over the years, I've enhanced my techniques little by little when it comes to engaging families and kind of building that trust.
So, given your experience, what strategies have proven most effective in engaging families and caregivers?
Yeah, so one thing that I'll say I definitely learned through training is active listening. So I might be too active at times, right? So part of active listening is that head nod, right? A lot of times I think that some of us, especially as professionals, we sometimes forget to more so listen and actively listen and not just hear people. People want to know that you're hearing what they have to say, not to respond, not to even necessarily fix it in the moment, but sometimes they even just want to vent. They want to know that somebody is there to hear them out because a lot of times our caregivers are just that. They're caring for everyone around them, and they need to know that there's at least that one person that's there to hear them out or for them to vent to, in order for them to kind of survive all the caregiving that they have going on. So that's one of the things, active listening. The other would be building that rapport through transparency. Again, I would say this is a little bit of what I've learned over the years. Is we can't be so disconnected from our jobs that we kind of leave back our humanity, right? And our humility when it comes to the families that we're working with. Our families should not feel like, you know, we're up here and they're down there and you know, there's no disconnect, right? If they don't feel like you can't re if they feel like you can't relate to them in any way, it's hard for them to open up. So sometimes we need to have that little bit of a story, right? Like, hey, listen, I understand, I know somebody, I went through this. Somebody, there's some sort of understanding other than I was trained or I read it in a book, right? In order to build that initial rapport. And you're giving them a little piece of you while you're asking for a whole lot of them.
Right. Yeah, I think that's so important. I think you mentioned listening versus hearing, and working in education, there's definitely a huge difference between the two. And I think, as professionals, especially, supporting professionals in C2L, and working with youth and their families and caregivers, that distinction is very, very important because you can listen to someone, but are you really hearing and comprehending what they're saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how can providers be proactive in engaging families and caregivers?
Okay, so when it comes to engagement, believe me, this is a feat for everyone who works in anything related to communities, whether it's schools, service providers, daycares, tutoring agencies. Everyone kind of struggles with that engagement piece. So I would say I'll narrow it down to three parts. One is make it part of the process. What I've realized is that a lot of times, agencies and schools, they make minimal attempts, and when they don't get a response, then they kind of ramp it up. But if you make family engagement part of your planning and your processing of your treatment, whatever it is that you're trying to do, make engagement a part of it. It can't be, if you would like to engage, this is how. No, you have to include engagement as part of that initial intake, as part of that initial planning. And you have to be specific about it, right? So if you're providing details of what does engagement look like for me as a parent and for me as a caregiver when it comes to this person, right? When it comes to therapy, I'm not supposed to be engaged. I'm just bringing them, right? If it's tutoring, they're the one that needs tutoring, not me. So we have to teach people what engagement looks like when it comes to our agency, our organizations, and as providers. So the
Yeah.
other piece is, another one is be genuine, right? One thing for certain is people, especially people who are have been under the care of service providers for long periods of time, we have to remember that there's generations after generations who are receiving services, right? So they can sniff out if you're not being genuine, if you're not being real, if you're there just there as a body to show up and say you did your job, and you're not going to get anywhere with them. You have to go into this and prepare your staff to go into these jobs with the understanding that the goal is to build that relationship, to build that rapport. And they have to want to do that. Why are you in this position? We have to remind ourselves, remind our colleagues why we are here so that when we interact with these individuals that we're providing services to, that they understand that we care and we're here with purpose other than ourselves and what we're going to get out of it.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
And last but not least is serve. So again, I think sometimes we use words and we get so used to it that they lose their meaning. And I think one of those things that we forget about is the word serve and service provider. We forget that we are serving these individuals, and so we should engage with them as if that's the case, right? What do you need? How can I help you? How can I provide that? And again, it goes back to everything else that I said, right? In order to serve, we need to listen. We need to hear people. We need to be empathetic. We need to engage with them. We need to provide details. All of that works together so that we can properly serve them. And I would say part of that is looking for those outcomes. Like, what are your goals when you're working with this family? What are your goals when you're working with this individual? So that it kind of gives you something to kind of look at and focus on as you're working with them.
Yeah, I think, making it part of the process, and that's kind of where we step in with providing a support for our providers in C2L world to help them identify goals. I think you definitely hit something there. And I think that genuineness, that is something that is, I mean, it's important. Obviously, everything's important. But it's something that I think really doesn't always come across. And I feel like, especially with, unfortunately, social media and the way that that has kind of, become so, I don't want to say important, but become such a big part of people's lives, that sometimes it's hard to understand and to get a sense of that genuineness. So I think, that's something that needs to come across a little bit differently. I think, people are so jaded with social media and the quote unquote genuineness that comes across from that, that sometimes they miss that genuineness in person.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Where can providers and even employers get support in interacting with families and caregivers?
So, one place I would say is connecting with the community via organized events that the community is organizing. Keep an eye out for those block parties. Keep an eye out for like I know a lot lately we've had like night markets and things like that that the city is putting on that you get a lot of community members just there. So let them see you in their environment. Be where they are. That's your market right there, is the community. And I think that the more that the community sees certain organizations out there, again, that's building that trust factor as well, right? Like I see them all the time. It's not just when things go bad or when things are wrong. I feel like this person is in my community and I can possibly trust them when something does go wrong and I need some support, or somebody that I know and love needs some support. Another one is local smaller nonprofits, right? So we have a lot of individuals who've grown up in a community who have found their own niche and they're starting smaller organizations, partner up with them and move through them. There's a lot of organizations online who have communities on Facebook, who have communities on LinkedIn and different areas. So, like you were saying, when it comes to social media, people are there anyway, right? So instead of, totally moving away from it, we need to go deeper and meet them where they are. Let us be the beacon for them to get that genuine effort, that genuine support, so that they know that when they go on social media, you're not just listening to Jane and John who decided to turn on their camera and start talking. Another place is if you are serving youth, right? Again, we have to look at the entire village. We're looking at schools, we're looking at extracurricular activity providers. Again, those smaller nonprofit community organizations. Are they into Roblox? Are they into music? There's all these little organizations that are out here serving students. The coaches, some of our boys, our girls are on basketball teams, cheerleading squads, football, and they're looking to these coaches. Connect with the coaches in order to connect with the community and those families, because again, those are people that our families already trust.
Yeah, and it almost sounds like you're talking about not just within the time frame of C2L, but the engagement is like throughout the whole lifespan of a connection with a student. And so really getting into the community. I mean, luckily we live in a city such as Philadelphia, which there's always something happening. So it's easy to get tapped into communities.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What advice would you give to programs or employers to provide support for multilingual learners?
Yeah, so number one is with any business, right? Know your market. If you are in, we all know that, like you said, Philadelphia, right? We know that in this city, there's sections where we might have, more groups than others when it comes to certain backgrounds and culture. So if you are opening up here, if you're providing services here, you should know who's here. Again, reaching out to local organizations, reaching out to the schools, they know. You have access to the census. Like there's all these tools to figure out who's in your neighborhood. And the follow-up to that is immersing yourself in that culture. That means that don't just have your documents and your information available in English, right? If you know that there's a huge Russian population or a huge Spanish-speaking population, you should everything automatically, even if you don't print everything out, everything should be automatically available in those languages. If you happen to have somebody that speaks another language come along, then fine. Start finding ways to translate your information for them. And I would say also, again, there's community organizations that provide translation services. Do not turn people away. And again, do not make people feel like they're unwanted or not understood. And you're not even making an effort to understand them because you don't, your first language is not the same, right? We want to connect with all communities in every way. And in order for us to best serve those communities, we have to be open to not feeling like everything has to be the way that we're used to it being, right? We have to open ourselves up to make those connections however we can.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's not just about making connections with families and caregivers, it's also making connections within the community to help with that support of families and caregivers.
Absolutely. I'll add that again, if the community is huge and they need your services, but they're not accessing them because you don't speak the same language, how do they access your services, right? If your goal is to reach the entire community, a lot of this stuff, I'm very much so of the mindset of preventative versus intervention, with that mindset of let's prepare as much as we can instead of waiting until something comes up and then scrambling to kind of fix it or figure it out. If we have these things in place already, as we're doing the outreach and we're trying to engage community members, we'll be able to say, hey, listen, we already have someone available. Here's these documents in your native tongue, and you're making them feel welcome to walk through your doors.
Yeah, definitely. All right. And last but not least, if our listeners are interested in connecting with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I am on LinkedIn. You can look for Naomi Studevant as well as Advocacy Unlimited. And the same goes for Facebook as well as Instagram, Advocacy Unlimited, for all three.
All right, and we will definitely have those linked on our website. So thank you for listening to this podcast on engaging families and caregivers. Be sure to check out any materials referenced during the conversation at c2lphlresourcelibrary.org under the podcast and media section. There will also be a virtual professional development session that will be available on the resource library regarding supporting and engaging families and caregivers. So be on the lookout for that. And check back soon for other podcasts on exciting topics related to career-connected learning.